Left sinner lone, ever believe thy gracious word. Alone my soul with shame and grief, a sink of sin and unbelief. Lord, in thy house I read there's room, and venturing, behold, I come. But can there tell me, can there be amongst thy children room for me? I eat the bread, I drink the wine, but oh, my soul wants more than sign. I faint unless I feast on thee and drink the blood as shed for me. For sinners, Lord, thou camest to bleed, and I'm a sinner vile indeed. Lord, I believe thy grace is free. Oh, magnify that grace to me. For those who don't know, that's number 313 in the Gobel book. Song I learned it. I feel like this tells my experience. I suspect it tells a lot of other people experience as well.
Oh yeah.
I was stressing over this, over standing before you. I stressed all the way down here last night, yesterday, got here yesterday afternoon. Brother Paul told me that they're going to wait till today because I said I put on the card I was going to be here till this afternoon, Lord willing. And well, we need to make sure we put that on there. Anything we say we're going to do, we need to say, Lord willing, because anyway. And I said, thank you, because I don't think there would be a preaching evening last night. I don't think there was. And I want to preach. You know, it's like when Absalom was slain, and Joab sent one of his servants to bring tidings to the king, and he sent him this other one. He was dying. He wanted to run. He wanted to bring tidings. He wanted, and he kept on running. Finally, said, "Well, go ahead and run." He said, "Well, you don't have any tidings. Why would you run?" "Oh, but let me run anyway." And sometimes we get to want to preach and we don't have anything, but please pray God to bless me today. I didn't know what I might address until last night. I heard a preacher last night, and I told someone earlier today there's two kinds of preaching makes a man want to preach: good preaching and bad preaching. We heard some really good preaching. And it reminded me of something in things in 1 Corinthians. Yeah, here it is. It told, was it 1 Corinthians? I may be lost here. It's in the Hebrew letter. I'm sorry. It's in the Hebrew letter, 10th chapter. He says, this is 10:24. "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." How do you provoke unto love? You love. How do you provoke unto good works? Do good works. During the disaster that Brother J.C. was talking about a while ago, there were people that had in their heart to give, to do, and so forth. And then other people saw up and said, "Well, I want to too. I want to join in. That is provoking to good works and to love. Well, the provoking last night was they touched on the got on the 2 Peter 1st chapter, and I've preached on that before, or at least I've talked on it. I'll let others judge whether I preached. And it stirred me up. I hope I don't get too long-winded here. He said 20 or 30 minutes, and I'm going to try to get as much said as I can in that. If this was properly preached out, it'd take hours to preach it. But I'll just try to do the best I can. There was one preacher, I think, somebody said one time, I just love a good one-hour sermon, especially if it's preached in 20 minutes. Something like that. Please pray for me that I can condense this down and get the points. Get what's important here. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them which have obtained like precious faith. Well, now, first time years ago I was reading that, and I thought, obtained? Well, they went out and got this? That just doesn't sound right. And it occurred to me, I've got several reference books, and I got to look in those reference books for the definition of that word obtained. I found in the Vine's Greek English Dictionary, and I wrote it down on a little piece of paper. I got several of it there, and I put it in my Bible. I left it there because I knew I never remember all that stuff. I live on big brain. I'm so forgetful and absent-minded. Yeah. That word is translated from the Greek word lanchano, and I'm sure I mispronounced it, but that's okay. The English definition of that word is obtained by being allotted to them, not by acquiring it for themselves, but by divine grace, an act independent of human control. Now, that is what the Bible says about it. And that, you know, but that word, if you look at it the way we normally would say, you know, somebody obtained a new car, obtained a new sewer, obtained a new house. Well, he went out and did something to get it. I try to get my grammar correct. Went out and did something to get it. Well, that ain't what this is talking about. They obtained this faith just the same way we obtained it. I'm not independent of human control. And it's that common faith that they preached on last night. It's that faith that you're born with it. For by grace are you saved, through faith, and not that not of yourself, is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And you know, I've heard people that did a little boasting. There was one old Armenian preacher I used to hear on the radio every once in a while, and he's passed on now, but I remember him preaching one time, said, when I get to heaven, I don't want any credit for all those souls that I've helped save. I thought, oh my, can anybody be any more arrogant? And I thought, how can he even think such a thing? But see, that's the end result of that kind of belief. No, this is faith that you're born with. Now, there is a faith that comes by hearing. And there is a faith that can be overthrown. I got Bible for that. I think it's 1 Timothy, and I don't know if I'll find it now. I've got a bunch of stuff marked in here, and I've got, I'm going the wrong way now. 1 Timothy, he talks about, this is 2 Timothy. In 10th chapter of Romans, it says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and so forth. And there are many things. See, faith comes by hearing. They ain't reading this faith that is a gift from God. And they'll say, oh, well, you got to accept it. You know, it's never offered to you. Faith, when it comes during a spiritual birth, is Elder Eugene Wilder pastored Knoxville Church for many years. He used this illustration. A woman never offers birth. She gives birth, but she doesn't offer birth. A child does not accept birth, but he receives birth. You know, somebody might not like my looks and want to change them, come and punch me in the nose. Well, I didn't accept that punch in the nose, but I still received it. Or if somebody said born of the Spirit, he didn't accept that spiritual birth. God didn't offer him that spiritual birth. He gave that spiritual birth, and he received that spiritual birth. And that faith comes in the spiritual birth. That is a faith that comes. It's a common salvation. It's a common faith. It's a It comes in the spiritual birth. But there is a faith that comes by hearing. And so, you know, here it's Paul Tim Tom Kennedy, he said, this is 2 Timothy 2:16, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. I've heard some of that stuff, and I don't want any part of it. The best thing to do is somebody start with some kind of nonsense. Just don't hear anything. Can God make a rock too big for him to pick up? And a bunch of silly stuff like that. Just don't have anything to do with that. He says, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who, concerning the truth, have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. So there is a faith that can be overthrown. So obviously, these people had heard it preached and had accepted and believed that the resurrection is coming. I want you to understand that the resurrection is still coming. It hadn't happened yet. Now, we do have a resurrection, and there is a first resurrection, and according to the Revelation, the Revelation, not Revelation, plural, keep that in mind. According to the Revelation, those who have had part in the first resurrection, the second death had no power over them. That what that means is somebody have been born of spirit. The eternal damnation, eternal lake of fire, has no power on them. We don't have to worry about that. That's one thing we can rejoice in. One of those things that we can come together and, you know, even in the worst time of your world, your life, you still have something to rejoice in. Paul said, rejoice evermore. He said, in everything give thanks. He didn't say for everything give thanks. He said in everything give thanks. I carpeted for a lot of years, and that poor old thing's been beat on and sawed on so many times, and not one time did I give thanks when I hurt myself. Not one time. I didn't give thanks for hurting myself. But I want you to understand, though, I still had something to give thanks for. And there are people that lose everything they got. There are people who have a health issue, health problems. They have financial issues. They have betrayals and so forth. If you've ever had a spouse to betray you with other people, listen, it ain't fun. I've never lost one to death, but I've lost one to unfaithfulness, and I really believe that it would have been a lot less painful to put her in the grave than to have that happen. Even in the worst things that ever happened to you, you still have something to give thanks for. There were 70 preachers that God sent out, gave them power over devils and so forth, and they went out and they cured, did cures and so forth, and they came back and said, Lord, even the devils are subject to us in thy name. He said, rejoice not in the devil subject to you in my name, but rejoice that your names are written in the heavens. Now that's what you've got. If you don't have anything else in this world to be thankful for, you've got that to be thankful for. And that's better than everything else in this world. All the riches in this world, it's all going to come to naught. Solomon was the richest man in the world at that time. And what did he say about it? He said, all this stuff, I'm going to die and leave it to somebody else. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them they have obtained like precious faith. And that like precious, believe it or not, I found that too. I got the Strong's Concordance, I got the Young's Concordance. That's one that I got. It's all older Joe Holder from out on the left coast. He ain't left, but he's out on the left coast. He recommended that, and I got that, and it's good. I get good definition. Vine's Greek English Dictionary, I get the good definition. And that man, he's the one that I got that, the Lanciano. He's the one that I read that, the Vine's, and I couldn't believe it because I read other things, and that man's as Armenian as I'll get out. I mean, he's all sad as I'll get out. He's as Armenian as he could be, but buddy, he wrote down the definition of that. It hit the nail on the head. And likewise, this like precious is of equal value or honor. That's pretty good. Yeah. We all have the same faith, what it means. They have faith that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that He died on the cross, He saved us from our sins,
And we have faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died on the cross. He saved us from our sins. And without any ifs, ands, buts, or maybe souls, it's not. I've heard people, salvation by grace, but. Well, when you put the but in there, you just did away with the grace part.
That's right.
Paul wrote that it's either by grace or it's by works. If it's by grace and part by works, then it's no longer by grace. He said if it's by works, but if it's by grace, then it's no longer works. Either it's grace or it's works. And I want you to know it's by grace. The Bible says it here.
Amen.
And like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God in our Savior Jesus Christ. We have obtained this. It's been allotted to us. It's been independent of human control that we have this faith. And it's through the righteousness. Now it's not through believing in the righteousness.
Right.
I had an illustration one time that these people that they believe, you got to believe, and if you don't believe, well, you're not.
Yeah.
I worked with a man one time, and because I had never prayed the sinner's prayer, he was worried about me. We had a little conversation, and I told him, Terry, I know what I am. I'm a sinner.
Yeah.
But I'm a sinner saved by grace.
Yeah.
I've never prayed this so-called sinner prayer like they talk about. But I have prayed that sinner's prayer like they were talking about earlier this morning down in the temple. I believe Brother Jeff, I don't remember somebody. That old sinner, that publican, Lord have mercy on me, a sinner.
Yeah.
I prayed that sinner's prayer. But praying that sinner's prayer ain't what gave me spiritual life. What gave me spiritual life was Jesus Christ. And because I have that spiritual life, because He has revealed to me what I am by nature, therefore I can pray that kind of prayer.
Amen.
If you know you're a sinner, then you can pray that kind of prayer.
Amen.
Now, this little illustration, there was this ship, and this man fell overboard. And he had done gone down the third time, and he was unconscious. Somebody dragged him out there and did CPR or whatever, got him all revived and walked off living. And somebody said, that man over there just saved your life. Well, I don't believe that. Does his believing that change the fact that man just saved his life?
There you go.
If you don't believe that Jesus Christ took away your sins, that doesn't change the facts. The facts are, if He loved you before the foundation of the world, He saved you when He died on the cross, and whether you believe or not, you're going to be with Him in heaven in the morning glory, and whether you believe or not, you'll believe it then. That's if you can't rejoice in it now, you'll rejoice in it then. If you don't know Him now, you will know Him then. Now, there's a way in which we know Him. That's the spiritual birth. You know Him. But you may never hear His name. There are people who lived and died before Jesus came to this earth. They never heard that name. There are people who lived and died after He came to the earth. Never heard that name. That will be there in heaven in more glory. Because see, God is not limited. He has not limited His eternal salvation to the people that a preacher can reach. There are a whole lot more preachers. If it took hearing a preacher, there'd be a whole lot fewer people in heaven than what I think is going to be there. It would be, what was that sound? The old saying, it'd be echoing a whole lot up there. Preachers don't get to nearly as many people as we'd like to. I want to preach to everybody that'll listen to me. I want to tell them the truth. I want to believe and I want to understand the truth.
Amen.
I'm not getting anywhere with this.
Yes, you are.
Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. I looked up a few other words in this. And if God would bless me, I think I'd go on for hours in this. Grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. I looked up the word knowledge there. Do you know that there are two different words that are translated knowledge here in this same chapter in the first, I think around 8 verses or so here. One of them is gnosis. And again, I'm sure I mispronounced it, but it's G-N-O-S-I-S. And the other is epignosis. E-I-P-I-G-N-O-S-I-S. But anyway, it's got epi on the front of gnosis. These two words are very closely related, but they're not synonyms. There is a very significant difference, and they're used, the Greek language is a lot more specific than what the English language is. He said, grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. That is from epignosis. Epignosis is recognition, full discernment, acknowledgement. That makes sense, doesn't it? The grace and peace be multiplied to you. How is it multiplied to you? Through the recognition of Jesus, of God. Through the acknowledgement of Jesus, of God. If you will acknowledge Him, do you not get a joy out of acknowledging, out of recognizing Him that you don't get otherwise?
Absolutely.
Out of the full discernment. Now, in the Corinthians letter, that was what I got over in Corinthians 4. Paul talks about those who were in the communion service, and they'd made a drunken feast out of it.
Yeah.
He was fussing at them about it. Mm-hmm. So I'd say he was fussing at them. That's the only thing I'm saying. He was fussing at them. See, you made a drunken feast. He said, there's some types before that, and so forth and so on. He said, be careful about this. This is a holy thing, and so forth. He said that you're to, I guess I was going to try to do it. I'm just going to have to read a little bit to you here. You know. this is 1 Corinthians 11:26. For as often as you eat this blood, eat this bread, and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until He comes. Now, they showed His death before He came when they were having the Passover lamb. But we're showing His death after before He comes again with the communion service. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. This is a very serious thing here.
Absolutely.
You know, the communion service, it's a very somber occasion. It's a very joyous occasion because we're commemorating the one that loved us more than His own life. You love anybody more than your own life? If you do, He still loved us more than that. You can't love anybody as much as He loves. The people toss around this word, agapeo, agape love. Oh, I have God. You don't know what agape love is. Only God can understand that. Only God can show that. You know, there's always, with these, us human beings, there seems like there's always, so what's in it for me? I love Him. You know, we love Him, even because He first loved us. Why we love Him? We don't love Him for any, to start with, we love Him because He first loved us. We love Him for all the things He did for us. David wrote a song about it. I love Him, or so forth, because He's done this, He's done that. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the body of Christ. All right, we're supposed to discern. If we discern the body of Christ in that communion service, does that not bring you great joy and comfort and it encourages us?
Oh, yeah.
So,
absolutely.
Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. That's the turn that over. You know. I got a bunch of these definitions. I knew I'd never remember them. My little people ain't nothing to remember stuff. Through the recognition, full discernment, acknowledgement of God and our Lord Jesus Christ, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Let's talk about it. He gave us spiritual life. And He gives us the Bible. He gives us preachers and so forth. He's given us a lot of things here that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge, that's the epignosis, the recognition for discernment, acknowledgement of Him, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us unto glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Receiving great and precious promises, spiritual birth, I don't know of a better one, more precious one than that. And I don't have time to get on with very much. My time's about up already, and I ain't even got started. That we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You already heard about lust. I won't go into that, you know. And besides this, giving all diligence, you know what diligence is? I got that too. Diligence from the Greek word spoude, I think it is. I'm probably mispronouncing it. The English definition is earnestness, eagerness with speed. Earnestness, eagerness with speed. If somebody is diligent in his duties, you know, you understand what that is. Give all diligence, add to your faith virtue, that faith that you already got. Add to your faith virtue. You know what virtue is? Virtue here is, I'll find it, is from the Greek word, rich, I can't read my own writing. Anyway, the English definition of virtue is moral excellence.
Right.
Moral excellence. You know, we can do that. If you've been born of spirit, you can do that. We don't always do that, but we can do that. He has given us the ability to do that. Find a place. And to virtue, knowledge. That knowledge is gnosis. Now, gnosis is a seeking to know, an inquiry, investigation. You might even call it science. You know, I was trying to add that kind of knowledge when I was studying, trying to get ready for it. And every preacher, when he starts trying to prepare for preaching, and anybody's trying to worship God, you have that kind of knowledge. You're seeking to know. You're inquiring. You're investigating. I'll close here just in a second. I don't know what time I'm supposed to quit. It's 3:03 here. I can't see that thing back there. My eyes are getting worse and worse and worse. At Harmony, we've got one on the wall right over here. It's a big one, so I can see it. Into knowledge, temperance. Into temperance, patience. Patience is, I got to find that and read it to you, too. I forget where I put all these things. I had this all planned out in my mind and everything. You know, you keep going under pressure. I can't remember. I can't find it here. Oh, here it is. Perseverance is patience is perseverance in adversity. Perseverance in adversity. Even when bad things happen, you still keep serving God. I want to hit a couple more things here before I quit. And I like it over there because they went through in the 12th verse he said, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them. Have I told you anything you don't already know as far as doctrine and so forth? Though you know them and be established in the present truth. It's a whole lot easier to preach to somebody that reads the Bible that knows the truth than it is somebody that doesn't know anything. I think in me, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up. I want to stir you up. These preachers, other preachers, we want to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. You tell you over and over again about these things. One of them said he never gets tired. Well, I was raised up in the old Baptist church. My dad is an old Baptist preacher. And I heard grace all my life. And you know, as he said, the older I get, the better it sounds, the better it tastes. It gets better and better and better. The closer I get to leaving this world and going and being, and God will take me home with Him to glory, the closer I get to that, the sweeter that grace sounds, the sweeter it tastes to me. If you have tasted the grace of Christ, it's gracious. It's better. It's tasty. I want to go on here now for just a couple more. He says, for if these things be into godliness, brother kindness, and brother kindness, charity, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge. That's an epignosis. Epignosis, that is the recognition, full discernment, acknowledgement. If this thing are in you, then you won't be barren or unfruitful in the acknowledgement of God, Lord. Now, the words barren and unfruitful, believe it or not, they're not synonyms. Barren is translated from the Greek word argos. It's denoting idle, barren, yielding no return because of inactivity. Now, I've worked with folks in the past on the job. They were barren. They didn't do much. Now,
oh my.
That you be neither barren nor unfruitful. Now, unfruitful is from the Greek word archopos or something like that. I don't know what's wrong. No, I'm not pronouncing that. That means barren without fruit, unfruitful. You know, and you think of a tree. You know, if you've got a fruit tree, it's not barren. That would be unfruitful. But there are people that can be barren.
Right.
I guess I've probably taken long enough. I'd like to keep on going, but I'm going to hush. Brother Buddy, God bless you and God bless all of you. Thank you for giving me this time.
For weak and worthless, O Lord, I